sorry. I was going to ask how we're recording.
That's wrong.
Do we have to start over? We're going to start over.
Sorry.
It's because he got the Eagles.
Easy on that. Easy on that. I think we should just keep on recording. You know what? Forget it. Stop. I'm done. Now the insult to me is rolling with it. I don't even care what you're
with Doug, Dina, and
everybody shut your mouth for 3 seconds.
15 years into education now, you know, what can I do to create this equitable space? And like, you know, what?
And especially for those students that look like me and that came from my community, I wanted to be an influencer for them, like for young people.
Connect with more people whose mindset and goals.
All right, this is Speaking Educationally with Doug, Dina, and Gerard.
All right, we're on season 4. We decided 3 seconds ago. Episode 1, and you know what? Before even we get into the first episode of season 4, I have a song for y'all that I think you're going to appreciate as it has to do with what we're going to talk about.
Now we are ready if you are ready.
All right, we're working out.
Doug always got the jams.
All right, so how are y'all working out this new year? That's our first topic. Go ahead.
Who wants to go first?
I'll tell you mine.
I got to get back to you talking about fitness.
Fitness, wellness. 2022.
Getting back to my original plan I was doing this summer and throughout the year, but kind of fell off from Thanksgiving to the end of the year. Just that self-care, make sure I'm getting those walks in the morning, the evening, walking the dog, getting some push-ups, some sit-ups in, as well as my nutrition shakes and staying on top of my water, as well as getting back to my cleaner eating, laying off some of those fatty meats and getting back to my seafood and my leaner things.
Have you been trying to increase your push-up? I was trying to increase my push-up by one a day for like 6 days, and then I gave up. But like, I'm not going to tell you the number. But.
That's a nice goal. I know I fell off, so I got to get back to that.
Push-ups are the bomb. Go ahead. Yeah.
Brad, I still think that you need to do some sort of like, you know, I'm on my walk. Let me do a little 5-minute PD for you and like push that out.
I gotta get back to that because so much be going through my mind. I'm like, I gotta start.
So what do you listen to on your walks? Do you just have nothing, or you have a podcast? You have a favorite podcast? Like,
oh no, I got several podcasts. I listen to anything Brené Brown. I really like Shaq's podcast, the big podcast.
Yeah, you talked about that today on the Boxer.
I got a whole library.
I have not listened to Shaq's podcast yet. I mean, who does he interview? Sports stars or?
Yeah, he'll bring some on, but he's on there with Spice Adams and what is that other?
I don't know. Who's Spice Adams?
He was a football player. I'm drawing a blank on. He's on there with Spice Adams. He played for the 49ers a little bit. Nichelle Turner, I think she's from ET maybe.
He's got some big timers on there.
Yeah, those are co-hosts. And then I'll listen to Swaggle and Perk from ESPN. Man, I got so much.
Young Turks by any chance? I know we're totally deviating from the – do you know the Young Turks at all? Do you know that name?
No, that I don't.
They're like a far left group. Anyway, it doesn't matter. If you don't know them, it doesn't matter because I don't know them either. So. All right, Dina, what about you? What are you up to?
I've actually maintained my exercise and my nutrition since July.
Nice.
So, what's up? Yeah, so to this point, I'm down almost 30 pounds.
That's awesome.
Since July, which has been fantastic. I decided that it's just something I need to kind of keep with. But I do work with a fitness coach who knows far better than I do how to handle all of that. So that's been my big thing. But I've been listening to. I started listening to The Body Is Not an Apology.
The body is not an apology.
Yeah, it's okay. it's really just so good. But basically the gist of it is
I'm assuming it's female led.
It is female led. So it is Sonya Renee Taylor. She was a guest on, I want to say it's Dare to Lead.
Yeah, she was. Okay, I remember her name.
And it's just basically it is and it's an understanding about the fact that a lot of our, not even just our self-image, has, you know, really kind of been programmed into us from very young, especially for Black females who have been, you know, kind of like indoctrinated in this belief that they have to navigate the world a certain way and they have to be kind of this way in order to kind of get through life. And so it gets passed down. A lot of women get that system passed down from their own mothers and their family members. And so what that it really does is work to kind of help you understand how to be really unapologetically just yourself. Comfortable kind of navigating the world through that. But I started listening to that and it's just awesome. And then my other listen is Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters, his book Storytellers, which is just, it's been so much fun to listen to because I love listening to musicians talk about their craft and tell their stories about touring. And so that's just been, it's been an awesome listen to. So that's what I've been doing, but I'm up to, I went from.
And their drum kit is ridiculous.
It's hilarious because he has a whole story about figuring out, because when you're a young musician and you're touring, he started playing professionally when he was like 17 years old. Like
but they started like jamming out, like crazy jamming out. Like when they jam out like organically on a level that's completely crazy.
Yeah. Wow. So he started playing when he was 17. He started playing with a punk band when he was 17 years old. And he was talking about how with vans, like you pretty much don't have anything else to travel in. So you have to figure out how to put all of the instruments into the van just right in order to kind of go off and travel. So it's a great kind of story with that. But, that's kind of what I've been listening to and just enjoying that. And I've gone from doing like mile walks. I'm up to just a little bit over 2 mile walks now. So
that's awesome.
My goal by summertime is to be up to 3 miles. So
you got this.
So what about you, Doug?
I mean, my fitness schedule right now is up to my 10-month-old dog that I take out twice a day. So, I mean, she's lovely. I've been caricaturing or putting her out on Instagram under my personal account. But, yeah, I mean, that's really my – I mean, I do a few push-ups here and there. I mean, it's – I do a lot of lifting in the office. You know what I mean? Like, I go to the, you know, I got Chromebooks to come in, so we have to move them. But, yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, I'm really not at the most peak physical shape that I've ever been in my life, but I am going to join a Monday night really old guys basketball league. So,
nice.
Starting January 10th, and we'll talk about that. Cool. I realize because that's Monday night is going to mess up our schedule, but all right, we'll talk about that offline. I realize that right now when I brought it up. All right, anything else you guys want to talk about with like wellness or health at this point? Because I know you guys have definitely been doing that, or also. The other topic we want to talk about tonight was trusted friends. So is there something that my thoughts around that? Okay.
Yeah. So I had, you know, we talked a little bit about this earlier today and I know Gerard and I talked about it a little bit. Back, I'm trying to remember how many months ago this was, actually several years ago, one of my friends who was actually on the podcast, Dr. Amy Pleed-Odal, she had recommended a book to me called Speed of Trust by Stephen Covey. And, you know, I read through the book and I kind of got a little bit out of it, but not being in a formalized leadership role, I kind of read the book and was like, oh yeah, like there's a lot of really good solid advice in here. And then in a course I was taking, the book was required reading. So one of the things that they had us do as an assignment was to fill out a, like there's a quiz on the inside of the book where you look at, you know, what are your levels of establishing trust? And I had scored pretty high in each of the categories, except in the integrity category. So that was, which was a complete shock to me, because if somebody had said to me, you know, do you have integrity? My first response back would always been, of course I do. You know, I have a lot of integrity behind what I do and how I do it. And, you know, that would never have been a question. But what I was, when I started looking through the questions and I was looking at where did I score lowest? It was in the portions of the questions about keeping promises and commitments to myself. That is where I struggle the most. And it is because if somebody needs me, I am going to bend over backwards to be there and support them. And, you know, and if I'm tasked with something, I'm going to do that thing. But when it comes to actually taking care of myself and my own health, that is where I fall flat all the time. And so what ends up happening is that, like, I don't get as much sleep as I need to be. And if you're not getting enough sleep, that is the equivalent of if you're driving a car, operating a vehicle while intoxicated. Yeah. So it was not getting enough sleep. I didn't get enough sleep. So let me binge eat to try and like stay awake and, you know, let me engage in habits that are going to be ultimately hurtful for me. And when I can't talk to other people about taking care of themselves and their health if I'm not doing that for myself.
Right. When did you make this realization?
I don't know if you said that. It was right after I took this quiz. In realizing that, you know, in order for me to live with integrity, I have to make commitments that are going to improve my health, because it's important for people that I care about and I'm close with, for people to take care of themselves. And if anybody said to me, you know, I really need to go to the gym, I'm going to go, great, that's fantastic, I'm glad you're taking care of yourself. But when it comes to me on my own doing that for myself, I would have a problem with that. And so people that I love and people that I care about want me to be healthy and they want me to be at my best. And so I finally said, you know what, like, I'm just going to do this. So every week I go, I am going to work out these days at this time. And they become non-negotiables for me. So I do that and I commit to that. And I have not. And so I woke up like 3 days ago, and they were open Christmas Eve morning, and I'm like, I'm going. And I got out of bed and I was like, I really don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to get up and go. And I was like, you have to, because you promised yourself you were going to do it.
Right.
And it was what I did. And it was the same thing this morning. I got up and I was like, I really don't want to go do this. And I'm like, you have to, you promised yourself. And so that's kind of what did the switch for me. But
you're in a routine now.
Yeah. It has to be something that gets into your schedule, because you know, it's like, it's not on your schedule, and if you are not committed to that, then you are not going to take care of yourself.
Right. You're not superhuman. What you did was you put it in your schedule and made sure you attached that to your schedule, and you did it. Like, anybody can do that. You just have to put it in your schedule. So I appreciate your honesty in that. But yeah, everybody can do that.
That's true.
And that's awesome that you're doing it.
Everybody can do it, and everybody has to do it. Like, I don't know one person who can make the kind of commitment that you need to make to taking care of your health without having some sort of thing in place. And right after I did
there's
this,
no human, there's no human that can be productive without being physical. We're all humans. It's not going to happen.
Well, and it's just like, so I ended up having a conversation with somebody else who was like, I think I need an accountability partner. And I was like, that's me. And so we now have, you know, a system in place where I'm checking in with that person every day, say, you know, are you like, have you taken care of yourself today? Have you gone and, you know, have you done the exercising? Have you done these things? So I'm not checking in with that person, because, you know, it just, if you know that somebody is going to be asking you about how it's going, you're more likely to follow through and, you know, take some course of action for yourself. But we can't be in a position where we're constantly taking care of other people and ignoring our own health. because it's having really, really horrendous effects on us, not just physically, but mentally. Like, it's just, it's taking its toll. And so
is your accountability partner a female?
It is.
Have you ever referred to her with the B word?
I have not, because we don't have that kind of relationship.
Hold me accountable today, B-I-T-C-H. That's what I would be sending if I was like, if I was a girl, I would definitely be like, I would love to use that word, but I can't.
So here's the thing, Doug. I say that to my sister. Like,
sure.
And I had that conversation, but I have not reached that point with this person yet. And so I can't.
I think it's going to come, though. I think it's going to come. But I think, to your point, though, I think it's super valuable. I think there is super value in having an accountability partner. Jordan, who's your accountability partner? Your brother?
What, for health-wise?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're talking about tonight, health and wellness.
I really don't have an accountability partner, which I probably need one because I wouldn't have fell off this past month.
I'm going to text you tomorrow morning at 7:30.
Oh, that'll work. I'm an early bird, so that would work.
Wake up, Gerard.
That would work. Yeah. that I definitely need, because everybody
you said you're walking your dog then, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, so here's the thing. I guess he's a indirect accountability partner, because what he does, he'll walk, like, he sleeps in my middle daughter's room. So, like, when he hears, like, he knows that I'm always the first one up in the house. So, like, by the time I start moving around, I look up, he's at the bedroom door looking. And he might not come in. He won't come in unless he sees me, like, because I only got like two or three different pair of shoes I wear when I go on my walk or jog or whatever. And once he sees one of those pair of shoes, then his tail gets wagging and he comes in the room. He knows what time it is. So, like, he knows my routine. It's like, he's watching, like, okay, do I see him putting on these pair of shoes and, you know, these sweats or these shorts? Funny. Like I got the same like couple outfits I'll wear to work out in. So if he sees any ensemble or any of that, oh, he's in the room, tail wagging and ready.
That's hilarious.
These dogs are smart.
So then what's the routine with the dog? Is it like a mile walk, a half a mile walk, quarter mile walk? What are we doing? Walk to your poop? I mean, I've done a walk to your poop, then I bring the dog back. It's like maybe half a block. You know what I mean?
So with him, I'll do at least a mile. But then, like, once he uses the bathroom and does he got to do, I might keep them for like up to close to a mile and a half, and then I'll bring them back. And then I always try to get close to two, or like if I get up early enough, I'll try to do three.
You know, you ever forget a bag and like when the dog starts pooping, you just put your head down and then you walk away? Look, I mean, I don't usually forget a bag, but sometimes there have been times I forgot a bag and I'm like, damn, my dog is big. She's pooping everywhere. See,
I got a scapegoat.
I'm like, we got to run.
Look, yeah, I got a scapegoat with that, because out here on our on our walking trails, they got like these dog stations. So like they got bags in the
bags.
Yeah. So the minute if I'm out there walking, the minute I realize I forgot a bag, I'm like, well, if I wanted to go this way, I'm changing course because I need to hit the trail. Because if he does something, I want to be close enough to a bag.
Yeah. Don't tell my neighbors about this podcast, because they're going to know my secrets. Not every day, but I'm saying there's some days where it's like, oh, shoot, I forgot a bag. And or sometimes she poops twice. She's a big dog. I'm like, how are you going to do that twice?
Them big dogs will do it.
What are you going to do? I mean, who poops twice? I never poop twice in my day. Anyway. All right.
There's something about Doug that I've learned in the last, like, 3 minutes.
Well, you know what? You know what? And that might be about my wellness and well-being. I walk my dog twice and I poop once. So that's how I maintain wellness. But anyway, no, I mean, I've been walking my dog. But you know what my biggest thing has been, like, recently, because I haven't been going to the YMCA, I'm trying to increase my push-ups by one push-up a day. I was doing okay for a while. I've kind of slacked off since the break. But, you know,
let's get a push-up challenge going on within the Voxer group.
start at 20, and then you go to 21 the next day, 22 the next day, 23 the day after that, and you get up to like 40 or 50, and like by the time you get to 50, like you're pretty ripped.
So you want to start 20 tomorrow then?
Yeah, I got 20 tomorrow. I'll give you 20 tomorrow. All right, we did that. All right. All right, topic two.
I got some accountability partners now.
All right, topic two.
So I will not be doing push-ups. I am more than happy to remind people that you need to be doing push-ups.
All right.
That's right. Stay on us. Stay on us.
All right. So we have the second topic tonight is trusted friends. So I don't know how this came up, but I think it's an important topic. I feel like we all have to have trusted friends. I think things happen in life when you don't know when and if you need to talk to somebody. And there are also trusted friends that you might not expect that reach out to you in a certain moment of time when you need to have some support on something that's not necessarily, you know, forefront in the media, but it might be something personal to you. And they understand that, and that could be a family member, it could be someone you knew in high school, but, I mean, talk to us about your relationship with some of your trusted friends and how they have maybe come to your defense and or just to support you, you know, over the past 30, 40, 50, I mean, it doesn't even matter, like, how many years. Anybody got anything, Gerard, or, I mean, I can certainly jump off the conversation, but...
Yeah, I think for me with trusted friends, I think it comes down to just having somebody to, you know, to talk to and like not even having answers, just like being a person that could, if I throw some stuff out there, if they can just, you know, throw out some follow up questions that really make me see myself in a situation or make me really think on, okay, what could be my next move? What could be my next steps? But not necessarily just having that answer, but just, That word trust is real big for me. So those trusted friends are like, I got friends, I got people that I deal with, but that trust level, it's very, very minimal.
So give it a number right now. How many trusted friends do you think you have just off the top of your head? I would say maybe like 20, maybe.
Nah, I wouldn't.
You're not that big?
I was, you know what? Okay. Most of the people I grew up with, even though like our circles,
right.
I might not even talk to them all the time, but when we do talk, it's like we pick up where we left off. So I would say.
No, but they may not be trusted friends. Who you trust your secrets with? Like, how many?
I would say 15 or less.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say 15 or less.
I'm kind of in that bowl game, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the thing with me, I'm sorry to cut you off, Dina.
Go ahead, man.
I'm trying to think it. It's like I honestly feel like for me it might be less than 10. Like
I think women are different though on this.
And the reason why mine would typically be 10 or less, but I got several people on the spiritual side with my faith.
Yeah.
That I trust, but outside of that, like it is a handful because I'm real big on trust. And once somebody switches up like that, that's bad for me. And what I mean by that's switching up because that switching up can just hurt you.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's why I'm not even worried about those people. Like you two would be trusted friends for me. Like if I share something with you two, like I know you guys are going to keep that secret till the end of the day. I'm not worried about it. So like I would put you two in that bag of 20. But like that's what I mean. Like there are certain people. Like to your point, I will associate with people that might switch up on me because they have, you know, invested interest in something that I'm also doing.
Oh, absolutely.
I have to have a relationship with them in order to move whatever it is forward, right?
Absolutely.
So whatever that is, professional, personal, whatever. I have to move something forward so I have that relationship with you. It doesn't necessarily mean you're a trusted friend. Like, my trusted friends are people that I know that, you know, and I hate to say it this way, but, like, I kind of know your, like, innermost personal feelings about certain things that I can then use against you. You know what I mean? And it sounds horrible saying it that way, but I'm like, I got something on you. You got something on me. all right, we're good. You know what I mean? We're all good here. Like, all right, I'm never going to cross you at this point because I'm not going to do that because that's just not the way that I'm built. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I know it sounds a little gaudy and I'm not Italian and I'm not a part of the mob, but it just sounds a little bit like, that's where my trust of friends starts. It's like, yeah, I got something on you, got something on me, we're good. Like, let's move forward. It doesn't matter what it is.
You know what, though? I feel like, for me, it is... Because what you're describing, Doug, sounds like you're commodifying relationships with people.
Right. And that's my problem.
Yeah. It's just, it's, to me, it's like, you know, I think, you know, one of the things that I've had to learn and unfortunately learn the hard way is who deserves to see you cry. Like that,
yes.
You know,
yes.
Mic drop.
Damn it. Yes. You got it.
And that is a gem of wisdom.
From males, yes.
From a good friend. And, you know, and it's like, because, you know, we've all had struggles and I was going through a really, really, you know, just a really, really trying period of my life. And, you know, that was one of the things that she had told me. And it's like, you know, I'm not worried about somebody quote unquote having something on me because there's nothing that I've experienced that I feel any shame over.
Yeah, you're right.
Like I'm not worried about that. What I do consider, like, you know, I know that if I went into a shame spiral in front of the two of you, that I'm safe.
Right.
You know, like I know I'm safe with the two of you. Right. I know I'm safe with my husband. I know I am safe with, you know, my sisters and, you know, my best friends. I know those are people I'm safe with, but I'm not going to go to my sister for advice on how to handle things with my job.
Right.
I'm going to go to you two for that, or I'm going to have a conversation with somebody that I work with.
So your tiers are different. Your tiers are going to be different. It's different tiers.
And it means safety. And everybody needs to feel that their trusted circle that they are safe in. And that might mean that when I open up, I'm not worried about that going someplace else. That might mean that if I say I'm scared in this moment, that I'm not going to hear, well, you shouldn't be scared, or, you know, you should, I'm not gonna have to worry about somebody naming my feelings for me.
Right.
You know, so that to me is what it is. Like it is, who are you in that room with that you feel safe with in not only in that moment.
Oh, that makes so much goddamn sense.
Yep.
Like your tears are different, right? Like, so my tears, so when I cry to you and Dry about like stuff in school, my tears are different than when I cry to my wife or when I cry to like my brother or sister. I don't have a sister, my mom. Like when I cry to some of that, like my tears are different and your tears can be different and it's okay having different tears. I don't know that I've ever understood that until you put it out there that way. Like it makes sense to me now. Like my tears to you guys are going to be different than my tears to other people. It's natural. Like you guys don't know me on that different level. So therefore you can't relate. So why would I cry to you? I would just be like, it's all good. Yep. I'm gonna go cry to somebody else. I'm gonna go call somebody. You know what I mean? Like, no, that makes perfect sense.
But you know what? One thing as Dina was talking, I was thinking about, it's just amazing how like your trusted peoples in education and your personal world. Like the trusted people that it may begin in education can actually end up being in your personal world, but not like in a calling sense. And what I mean by that is like, if I feel as though I trust you guys to a point where I could call either one of you guys and drop something on you from my professional world. Right. And even though you got the relationship with me, you're not going to side with me, be like, oh, Gerard, you are right. That person is wrong. I'm going to back you because they... Like if I trust you guys, where if I throw all the facts at y'all, it could be somebody you don't even know. And it's like, nah, Gerard, you wrong. Like you should have moved this way. And whereas some trusted friendships is like, I'm a ride or die with you, even though you wrong, but you wrong and you're hurting somebody else. Right. Like that's where that issue comes in.
Well, I'll definitely call you out.
Yeah, you will.
And the thing is, it is, you know, because I love you, Gerard. I am going to hold you accountable.
Bam.
Like, that's a, you know, loving somebody and caring about them does not mean that you let them get away with whatever. I mean, it's the same thing with, you know, when you have children, you know, it's like you love your children. If your child has done something hurtful or harmful, it's your job as a parent to say, you know, you screwed up here. You know, and it's the same thing. Like, you know, I think that we have all at some point in time pushed back on each other, you know, because
absolutely.
We love and care about each other.
And, oh, Adina, I can't remember the first time you pushed back on me. It was hurtful. I don't want to tell the story on the podcast right now. We can talk about it offline. But I was like, God damn, I was the biggest a-hole in the entire world. And Dina's like, I'm going to make sure you understand how big an a-hole you were. This is why. And I was like, I agree. I am sorry. If we can move forward, I would greatly appreciate that generosity.
But
yeah, I completely effed up.
But you know, though, this conversation is good because trusted friends in your personal life and trusted friends in your educational life, in both realms, will force you to grow. Like, it's going to force you to, those trusted friends will force you to grow personally. And those trusted friends on SK side are going to trust you to grow professionally because there's accountability on both sides.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, when we had, you know, I had, you know, 10, 15, 18 years ago, had never imagined for the life of me that I would ever become an administrator. That was not something that I decided I was ever going to pursue. And then, you know, had this discussion last summer and it was just like, I don't know if I can do this. And the, you know, basically Doug's pushback is, well, why not you and why not now?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yep. Like, what? Like, no, why reason. Not? Like, give me one good reason why you can't do this. And it's like, so sometimes the accountability is saying to somebody else that you're shortchanging yourself.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that's what the accountability is. And it's like, you know, like, and
I'm not being weak.
Well, it's not weak. It's,
I know. Damn, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It is a huge deal for somebody to put themselves in a vulnerable position. And it's important as somebody who is holding somebody else accountable to understand when they are being vulnerable. And
it's also difficult to convince someone who already has all the knowledge base and the authority and or the experience, in my opinion, that shouldn't already be stepped into the position and then see that person not do that.
Mm.
That's frustrating too.
It is. And I think that's,
you know, you can do it.
Well, and I think that's the reason why I came to you all, because it was like, this was not a discussion that I had opened up. You know, this was not a discussion I had opened up for a lot of people. And when I when I decided this was what I was going to do, you were I'd say of three people, you were two of the three who I came to for that advice. And you
know, we should have been two of two, but I won't judge. I won't judge that third. I'm not going to judge that third person. I don't know who it is. We'll leave them unnamed, but there should have only been two of two. Just putting that out there.
Was my head of school who has known me since I started teaching. So, you know, they are probably of, you know, anybody who is already currently an administrator, you know, they were the person that I had since I started teaching would tell me better than anybody else. But, you know, it was like,
What is that though? So like, let's talk about that. So like for you, you had trusted friends, you had Gerard, you had me, you had a school. So what was lacking in the fact that you didn't have other trusted friends that could have promoted you up to this position? Because clearly you have shown leadership capabilities up to this point, I'm assuming. So where is there like, where do you think there's a lack in other people being that? Because I always had, like, I could talk to you about who the trusted friends that I had along my journey. I have multiple names. And I could say this person did this, this person did this, this person did this. And then as I worked through leadership, and then I was like, I helped this person, I helped this person, I helped this person. So like, where do you think there's that breakdown? Like, that would be an interesting conversation. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't know if it was a breakdown. I went to I went to the people, so first off, we have discussed before that I have an immense amount of respect for the both of you.
Sure.
So it's, you know, so
take us out of it. Take Gerard and I out of it. Like,
well, but the thing is, though, your question was about where was this breakdown?
Okay.
I'm not going to go to. So one of my best friends in the world, who I love dearly, I'm not going to go to her for like where can I get a very honest assessment from you in this, because I don't know that she would. She's not an administrator, so she doesn't have the full picture of what that looks like. You do, and so I went. I'm going to go to the three people who I know have been in this role that can give me the best advice possible. That's going to help me make an informed decision about what I can do. Who also understand where my capabilities lie.
Sure,
and so. I knew that if I threw out there that this was something I was thinking of, if the two of you had any sort of apprehension about the kind of job that I could do as an administrator, and of course, I mean, I'm learning and I'm going to continue to learn. So obviously this is now versus 5 years from now, but I went to three people who I know knew me well that could really say to me with some level of very, very distinct honesty, I think you're going to be a good administrator. And I think this is a really good route for you.
So it was calculated.
It was very calculated. I don't tend to share very lightly. And when I came to the conclusion that this was something that I was really deeply thinking on, I knew that if I was not going to be a good fit for this type of role, that I would get a very, very honest, very, very good assessment of not only where I was, but I would get a lot of questions like why, you know, and that was exactly what you did, Doug. Like you were like, so let me ask you, like, why do you want to become an administrator? Like, how is this going to serve you in your life?
If you want an honest opinion about from where I'm coming from, I will always give that to you. I would 100% agree.
And it just, so that's what I got.
That's going to be awesome.
I got the questions. And to me, that was a level of pushback because it made me think, you know, and it made me really dig in and go, is this really what I want to do? And answering all those questions at the end of it, I'm like, I still want to do this.
That's good.
Yeah. So was there a gap for me? Because if I wanted to have a curriculum conversation, like I would go to my best friend, you know, I would go have that conversation with her because, you know, she is an English teacher. So I could go have that conversation with her. If I wanted like advice on how to be a better writer, I've got another best friend who I could ask those questions of.
Sure.
But
you wanted advice on how to be the greatest person in the entire world. So you came to Gerard. I understand that. I mean, clearly, how do you become the greatest person in the history of the world? You come to Gerard and I completely understand that, but
so, yeah.
That's Dina. That's awesome. That is super cool. I mean, I think you gave a lot of insight on how to, or who you should, or how you figure out what it is you want to do. So I don't know. That's a really good tweak on trusted friends. So Gerard, you got anything else on trusted friends or?
Nah, Dina dropping gems.
I don't know.
That's a deep, deep topic though.
What's that?
Deep topic though.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do this. You cannot do this job. And I think this pertains to really any profession, but you cannot do this profession at any level, whether you are a teacher, whether you are
by yourself.
You can't do it in a bubble and you can't do it in a vacuum because this job can get tough. Like it can get really hard and you can't do it by yourself. It's just one of the worst years I ever had as a teacher. I didn't feel that I had people in my own building that I could really go to help continue my professional development and my learning and my growth. And that's how I ended up on Twitter. And that's how I ended up developing these relationships with people across the world, really.
Right.
You know, and that brought the three of us together.
Well, I'm only like 45 minutes, but Gerard to me like 35. But yes, I hear you. Yes, Twitter brought us together. I think it's amazing. I don't know how this ever existed before anything that was Twitter. Like, Twitter changed my life and came to education.
Like, same here.
It definitely did. I mean, Twitter chats, Twitter this, Twitter that. I mean, I will shout out her again because she's my favorite Twitter person in the entire world. Dr. S to the J to the T, Sarah Thomas.
Yes.
She has started something and introduced me to worlds that I never knew existed. So, like, trusted friends, like, Sarah, Dr. J to the T to the Thomas is my most trusted social media friend. I mean, like, I can tell her stuff that's crazy deep. And, like, I have her on DMs. Like, I can reach out to her if I need to. Not that I do regularly because I don't need to. But when I need to and I know when she needs to, she'll reach out to me. And it's like, you know, they're just – you just have to have those connections. I think having those trusted friends throughout the network, whether it be local or global, I think are super important. Yes, and I'm sure you guys have those trusted friends as well. But go ahead, Jart. I feel like you're shit.
No, that's so true. That's so true. Like, Twitter changed my educational career.
We ended up, you know, Gerard and I, we had connected over Twitter, but we met the first time in person at an ed camp. Thank you, Doug. Yep. Mm-hmm. So that was, it's such a different
bring back ed camp.
Yeah.
We will bring back ed camp. Ed camp's coming back. Don't get me wrong. But we're just waiting for COVID to stop. God damn it.
It was interesting to me because the first, I had never heard anybody else explain the way that I thought about it until we had had, you know, we had Justin on as one of our first guests for the podcast. And
oh, don't give him any goddamn credit. You know, Jesus Christ, Dina. I mean, I swear to God, I'm going to text him right now and be like, do not listen to this. No. Go ahead. Give him his flowers. Go ahead.
But you know, what he had said was, you know, that, you know, education and teaching and learning and all the things that it is are a passion of his. And so they don't feel like work when you're interacting with other educators and you're having those conversations.
Yeah.
They don't feel like work because it's something you genuinely enjoy doing. And until he had said that, I didn't understand why this was so important to me. Like, yeah. You know, because we all could be doing something else right now. You know,
sure. But I like talking to you guys.
Yeah. It's, you know, not only do I enjoy the conversations, you know, because I enjoy them. I learn from the both of you all the time. And when I'm engaging with other teachers, I'm learning from them too. And they aren't just about like how to be better at my job. They are genuinely lessons about how to be a better person, how to live a better life. They are reminders. Yeah. They are, you know, the loving accountability that you have in order to keep doing what you need to be doing. So it's all those things. And I would not be able to have that kind of life if it weren't for the fact that, you know, Twitter existed and, you know, I formed relationships and friendships and really, you know, great, you know, professional relationships with the people that I've connected with.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, Gerard, you got anything more or are we going to end this episode?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm learning. Right.
Well, let me start with the old, make sure you guys work out tomorrow. Now we already knew we already.
Alright, this is Speaking Educationally with Doug, Dina, and Gerard. Where I'm coming from.
15 years into education now, you know, what can I do to create this equitable space? I'm like, you know, what...
Especially for those students that look like me and that came from my community, I wanted to be an influencer for them, like for young people.
Connect with more people whose mindset and goals.
All right, this is Speaking Educationally with Doug, Dina, and Gerard.